Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Hour number two, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, Edward Ellen, Shane Hamlin in studio, along with Dave Sawyer. Just describe some of the toys you brought with you.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to showcase some of the different form factors. With XP going off support, one of the things that people may want to do is look to a new PC.
Yep.
So I have my own Dell Venue Pro 8 that I brought. It's a little 8-inch machine that's running Windows 8.
It's great that you call that a PC.
Yes, it's small, but it has an Intel processor, it has Office Home and Student built
in. That's right.
It's
right.
So,
it is.
You know what was better than him calling it a PC was the fact that he held it up to the mic so everyone could see on the radio.
It's so light. Why not?
Now, I'm going to put a picture up online so you can see that as well. So that's and it really is. It's beautiful. But the neat thing about it is it's the size of like a... Is that the Apple Mini? Would that be about
the size of an iPad Mini.
Yeah, it'd be about the size of an
or
iPad Mini.
Or the Nexus, I think.
A Nexus 7, I think.
Yes.
You can almost put it in your pocket.
Well, that's what I mean. It's about that size. But it's
but
fully loaded. It's
ready.
It's loaded for bear.
That's right. Yep.
And then you have the next step up.
Yeah, I have a Lenovo Yoga 2 Pro, which is a neat machine because, one, it's orange. two, it basically opens up like a laptop, but it also folds all the way back over, and you can use it as a tablet.
Yeah. So they call that a 360, right?
Yeah, so it's a two-in-one. They call it basically a two-in-one because you can use it as a tablet and as a laptop.
Okay.
And when you have it folded over in the tablet mode, it disables the keyboard so that you're not necessarily able to go ahead and type on the keys here, so you can use it just as a tablet.
Now, as another name for that, because people are out shopping right now, hybrid? Is that another name for that one, too? Two-in-one or hybrid? Is that this, or was that the one where the keyboard comes off?
Two-in-one is any one that has multiple functions. So the ones where the keyboards come off is another one of the two-in-one type of designs.
Yeah. Okay, because people are going out there saying, what can I get next? And then there's the two-in-ones where the keyboard... Sometimes that's where the ones with the keyboard detaches, but this one, it doesn't detach, right?
Correct. It folds around.
So. It's a beautiful machine. And hey, Shane, weren't you saying that Lenovo in particular are really good machines? You can put your faith in
absolutely
the company.
Put my faith in them all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're good machines because they used to be IBM's brand,
right.
And an IBM ThinkPad was just like a tank.
Exactly. It's still isn't that the Mercedes of the business class? The IBM ThinkPads.
It's certainly.
It's definitely the workhorse.
It
of
is
the
certainly
industry.
The workhorse.
I wouldn't call it the Mercedes.
What I meant was it's the preferred business kind of.
I'll go back to the old cliche: you can never get fired for using IBM.
Well, and this is called Lenovo, right? So it's not branded IBM, but it's basically Lenovo was building IBM's notebooks, and then IBM sold them the name, right?
Yeah, and they have some great consumer designs as well as some great business focused designs.
Right.
The Yoga in Business, it basically has a mechanical keyboard that folds up into the unit, and it also adds a pen. And we talk a little bit about how using a pen for taking notes is a great thing in a machine if you're looking to do that.
All right. We have also with us Professor Jeff Inglesby. Jeff, I know it's your birthday. I don't want you sitting there silently. You've got cake to cut and all sorts of other things going on.
Well, this is great stuff. I love being here.
All right. Good. I wanted to talk about this heart bleed bug that's out there right now. Let's talk about the practical aspects of this in terms for us as consumers. What can we do about it? It seems like it's on such a macro level that, there's nothing much other than, the kind of normal things we do with backup and with a good antivirus protection, et cetera. But it seems like even that may not, or changing passwords, even that might not save us.
No, exactly. The problem with this bug is that it really has nothing to do with your PC or your laptop, your tablet. It has everything to do with the servers themselves that have used OpenSSL. So I'm not sure what the governor said because I wasn't in the studio, but the basic premise here is that whenever you log into a secure website, you see that HTTPS up there,
right.
One of the options that they have in terms of implementing it is they could use this OpenSSL toolkit. When they do that, then the bug is very simple. The reason why they call it heart blood is that there's this heartbeat thing, option in OpenSSL that allows you to say, hey, are you still there? And when I say, hey, are you still there? Then I send the number of how much of a message I sent. I say, here's the size of the message I just sent you. And all they do is they make the number super huge, and then the server says, oh, here's all my information that's in my system memory. Super simple, super serious, and there's really has nothing to do with your computer.
So okay,
what you can do, though,
is
this. There are several utilities out there. Qualys has one, Q-U-A-L-Y-S. Chrome has an add-in that will allow you to do it. They allow you to check the website to see if that website has OpenSSL, the vulnerable version.
Uh-huh.
That's
so that,
what you want to do.
That's our protection. So that first one was called Qualys,
Q-U-A-L-Y-S.
Okay, Qualys, and the other one that you said is a plug-in that is in the Chrome browser.
Right. There's several other sites that you know I can give you to put up on your website.
Yes, please. Yeah, send it to us, and what we'll do, folks, is we'll post these things so that in the second hour notes of our program, so that you can go then use. So really, then the protection we have is to take a look at the sites we're going to before we jump into them. Is that how you do it?
Absolutely, because what's happening is this: Yahoo was vulnerable.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and so like took them about 2 days to roll to the new version. Well, but they own a bunch of other companies, and they haven't rolled the changes to all of the other subsidiary companies.
Yeah. Is it Flickr? Like, for instance, I'm trying to scale. Flickr was one of them that had not been patched.
Yeah.
What were some of the other ones?
Although, Jeff, I have to believe that that they're patching around the clock at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It's just a matter of resources.
Right.
Yeah.
And so many servers and so many servers to patch.
It's guys, it's interesting. This Target was not vulnerable this time. Well, one of the other things, too, guys, is that this has been going on for 2 years, is that right? This vulnerability has been out there for 2 years, Jeff.
So there's never, we don't know of any breach being used by it, but they found the vulnerability. So now if the companies don't patch their servers, there probably will be vulnerabilities.
So, Jeff, if a bad guy had used this, my understanding is one of the ways they would do it is they would steal a certificate so that they would pretend to be somebody else.
Right.
They would pretend to be Flickr, or they would pretend to be Minecraft.
Yep.
So we don't think that's happened yet, but they could.
Netflix.
And that's what they have to patch.
Yeah.
What do consumers do, Jeff? We had a conversation yesterday between a number of CIOs of companies, and would we recommend to our employees for their personal use, now not for our companies, but for their personal use, should they change their password right away? Should they wait a couple days and change their password? What's your opinion?
My opinion is this. Forewarned is forearmed. So I wouldn't – changing the password matters if you're actually going to be interacting over that OpenSSL session.
Right.
If you're actually going to be logging in and doing this kind of stuff, then you change the password. If before you do that, though, go and check and see if that website is safe.
Right.
The Qualys, for example, the Qualys tool will give you an A, B, C, D, E, or F. You know, a website can fail, or it can say A or B.
Uh-huh.
Or it can say, I don't know, go do some more checking.
Uh-huh.
So before you change your password, check to see if their site is currently vulnerable. If their site is currently not vulnerable, that means they patched it or they never used it.
Yeah.
If they patched it or never used it, then you can go change your password. But just simply changing your password willy-nilly isn't the answer, because you don't know.
Because if they haven't done the patch, you're still vulnerable. They could steal that password.
There's two things to consider there.
Right.
One is that if there's two ways to implement this. One is with this special perfect future password. I'm getting too technical. So one way that the companies can implement this is by saying, never remember any of the passwords in the past. So the encryption is safe in the future.
Gotcha.
Now, the other way that they can do it, which is easier and it's much more common, is, remember everything in the past. So if I logged in 2 months ago, then you're basically, they can get the passwords that were in the past.
I gotcha. All right, Jeff, here's what we're going to do. Professor Jeff Inglesby is going to send us these links, and we're going to post them on our homepage. And we're going to give you folks some tools to check out those websites to make sure that they've done their part. And then you can always listen to this broadcast again. Jeff, thanks so much again for being with us. Back in just a moment, the talk about Windows 8.1.